This is the weekend edition of the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Daily Gold Podcast. This is our second on-site live interview. We're speaking with Joe Mazumdar. He's the new analyst for Brent Cook's Exploration Insights, and in my opinion, the real brains behind the operation. just a joke there, but obviously we know Brent is really highly competent, and Joe obviously is as well. And listen, guys, if you're really serious about investing and speculating in the sector, you need to sign up for their newsletter because it's by far the top newsletter in the business, and I'm a competitor, and I'm saying that, so that's an honest thing. Anyway, Joe, it's great to have you here. How are you, and what are your impressions of the conference?
Thank you very much for having me, Jordan. The conference is definitely, and we expected this, much more buoyant than last year or 2 years ago. What I'm seeing is, if you see the sign in terms of entering the conference, they're much more wary of people entering without badges. But also, you see that there's no registration at the desk. You already have to be pre-registered. They're not taking anybody. They've got another tent. Usually they only have two rooms. Now they've got three rooms. There's a lot more I've seen, in terms of my industry experience with the brokerage firms. I see a lot more investment bankers here, sales teams, a concerted effort by them to come in and talk to, predator and prey. And then you've also got the corporate bankers, the corporate development teams of various big companies here as well. So I see a lot more activity here than I saw in the last 3 years.
Now, Joe, with that being said, we've had a huge move in the sector, a very bullish move. I'll try and be specific because sometimes I can ask big questions that go on and on, but what do you see, as far as the next year or 6 or 9 months or so, do you see any new trends picking up in the sector? I know that I've heard you talk about the majors and the intermediates and the mid-tiers, that they will have to even look for smaller companies because the quality mid-tiers and the larger advanced juniors, those have already been acquired. Many of them have. Do you continue to see or believe that could be the next trend in the sector, that we see larger companies taking over even smaller companies, or is there something else you're anticipating?
Well, our thesis remains the same in terms of protecting your downside by picking quality assets with very good management teams. That doesn't change, and that narrows our scope quite a bit immediately. And since we've had the big run-up, maybe it's come down a bit since, but, a lot of these projects, companies are being valued probably at a higher gold price than it is right now. And so we've seen a lot of the marginal projects come up quite a bit. But what we're seeing in terms of the M&A, there hasn't been that much M&A, but we've been thankfully lucky with some of the acquisitions when we had the producers like Claude and Lakeshore, and then with some developed and advanced explorers like Kaminak and a Reservoir. But the key thread here is the fact that all of these were quality projects. And quality lives through all cycles. And if you want downside protection, make sure you have the quality asset that a major or somebody else would want. Problematically, if you pick the levered play, when that buoyancy of gold or the underlying commodity goes, and it might be fleeting because it's U.S. dollar weakness or strength related, then the liquidity can easily dry up in a lot of these small companies. If you can keep an asset that's good, it'll live through the cycle. And so we've seen that in just one company I would mention is Ivanhoe, and that's a copper developer. Obviously Robert Friedland was involved in it, but we got that at 60 cents and the copper market is flat. It's in the Democratic Republic of the Congo that nobody really likes, and that stock's up 200%. So I'm just pitching that as that's a quality play that even in this cycle where copper price is flat, it's still something people want. So if you can find that in any commodity, that's a good thing to do as far as I'm concerned.
With the correction that we've had, and I think it's going to continue for a little while longer at least, is this the time where investors should be taking another strong look at quality? Because obviously, as you said, I mean, everything has run up. I mean, the marginal stuff always performs the best. But as you said, highest risk there, it always corrects the most. But, I mean, as far as quality, given that things have come off, do you foresee quality on sale? I mean, you don't have to give specific names, but are you seeing more compelling values for a lot of the stocks you own and ones that you follow?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of stocks that we like that we weren't able to pick up because they were overvalued, yeah, there's more opportunity for that. But I still think that there's still opportunity for some of these early exploration stories with decent land packages that can structure good joint ventures that we're still interested in that haven't had as much pickup this year, potentially because they're in a jurisdiction where the U.S. retail really hasn't been attracted to, or else it's on a different exchange that they haven't been able to access.
Yeah, great points there. Now, can you give me maybe one or two takeaways from the conference? I don't want you to give away, because I know that you provide all this information in Exploration Insights with Brent, but is there any takeaway that you want to share? Maybe just a little piece of something that might be valuable to our audience that you're willing to share?
I would say, like, you know, we've had a big run-up, and that, you know, because what we're trying to do now is trying to avoid the development plays. Got a few producers in a portfolio, but most of those producers have either what we believe is a pending M&A bid, or they're finding new stuff at their property, so it's more like a little embedded exploration play within it. But in terms of where we're heading down market cap for the exploration plays, because really what hasn't happened for the last 4 years is there hasn't been much exploration. And so quality is not going to usually evolve from a project that everybody knew that's been drilled to death and been mined, and suddenly they find something completely different. That usually doesn't happen. I mean, we do have one company that it's happening at, as one reason why we keep it. But in terms of everything else, people have to go back to exploration. Since these companies have not been doing exploration, we're thinking that those are the ones that may not get acquired, but then we'll see the joint ventures happening. And we now have to concentrate on how these people structure these joint ventures to see if they give away the project too early and there's not enough deliverables, and we end up that the major gets it, and basically there's no point in having the underlying exploration company.
Now, just to follow up on quality, as far as quality assets, I mean, looking for these tiny, smaller, you know, lower on the food chain type companies and the assets that they have, I mean, how can the retail investor, obviously they should subscribe to your service, but if they don't, I mean, just can you point them in the right direction? What are some things that they should be looking for to at least, you know, because we know that, you know, most of the stuff's out there. I mean, they're just mining the market. It's just crap. I mean, the tinier, smaller stuff, is there any, just a couple bullet points you can give away what they should be looking for or not looking for?
Well, what you want to be looking for, if you stick to the theme that we're talking about, which is quality and which is, you know, looking for people that are fully valued, what I would look for is that you have to put on the hat of somebody in corporate development with the potential acquirer. You have to see what they see. And you know, I've got a bit of an advantage there because I used to actually work for corporate development with a major company. And so for me, it's easier to see what they're thinking because I was them. And what they're looking for, it tends to be big land package because they want district scale stuff. And the problem is, since they haven't been doing a lot of exploration, they don't have these big footprints in places that they're not working in. And so if they see something new, like, hey, I know these rocks, we got these rocks over here, and these same rocks are over here, and we know that. The infrastructure is a bit different, it's a bit different jurisdiction, but I'm pretty comfortable that these rocks at this kind of grade will work economically. I just got to make sure that there's enough of it. And so I don't have a big land package there, so where can I find a big land package like that? So I will go around looking for all these companies with the land package in the area I want to be in. And then I'll see, okay, they've already drilled some holes, so it's there, so I'm going to take a look at it, I'll sign a CA, and if I like it, I'll start doing a joint venture. And for us, what we want to look at is how that joint venture is structured, just like we did a point about capital structure, reading the tea leaves of capital structure to look at, see how good the asset is and how good the management team is. It's also a point about how the joint venture is structured, because if a company gives away a really good asset, we're not going to be interested anymore because it's already gone. And we're not going to buy a major company to get exposure to it because it really wouldn't matter. So then we'll have to look somewhere else. So and now we're actually looking at that sort of thing and how joint ventures are structured.
All right, Joe, as we close here, can you tell our listeners where they can go and how they can subscribe to Exploration Insights?
Well, to subscribe to our letter, Brent Cook's and mine, it's explorationinsights.com, and you can go there and it's a please subscribe. But also I'd encourage, if you're not interested in subscribing right away, you could go subscribe to the free list, and every now and then we put out a letter that we've done which is more thematic. We put out one recently on the Orozone resource impacts and what we thought about them, and later on we're going to put out something on the fatal flaw letter we put out a couple of weeks ago.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for the time today and joining us. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to having you back again soon.
Okay, thank you very much, Jordan.
Great.